Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark.
I anticipate, by the way, and I could be wrong, but I anticipate this being a shorter service, so don't amen that. But I intentionally today, when we texted back and forth and we talked for a little while, and I intentionally asked the Lord to give me an encouraging message. I feel like lately I've been beating people up, and we need that. But I specifically asked the Lord to give me what might be an encouraging message, and honestly, I think last Sunday night I preached about 52 minutes I saw on the web, the video, and I went, holy cow, I'm sorry about that. I didn't realize it, but we'll try to. I want to make sure I say what the Lord wants me to say, but I'm hoping we can do it and get you out of here a little bit earlier tonight. Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15. When you find it, if you would, stand with me as we read God's word. Romans chapter number 15. We're going to begin at the end of the chapter, verse number 25, towards the end of the chapter. For context, let's do this. Let's go to verse number 23. Paul, in the beginning of verse number 23, he's going to reiterate his goals and his plans of visiting this church, the Christians at Rome. In verse number 23, he says this, "But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and be brought on my way thitherward by you. At first I'd be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto the carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed them, to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come with the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for Paul. I thank you for the great things that you used him for and then we can learn from. Lord, I pray tonight we'd be encouraged where needed and we'd be convicted where needed. I just pray that you'd be with our service tonight. We want to lift you up. We want to glorify you in everything that we do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There's a picture I think is going to come up on the screen here. This is from the Associated Press and the Guardian newspaper on Monday, July 22nd, 2013. And here's how the article read. It said, "Dozens of Japanese commuters pushed a 32-ton train carriage away from the platform to free a woman who had fallen into the 8-inch gap between it and the platform. The act of collective heroism was captured by a newspaper photographer. A public announcement that a passenger was trapped prompted about 40 people to join train officials to push the carriage, whose suspension system allowed it to lean to either side. The newspaper reported an unnamed woman in her 30s was then pulled out uninjured to the applause of onlookers at the station just north of Tokyo. After an 8-minute delay, the train went on its way." I saw that picture and I said, what great things we can do when we work together. 32-ton train. That's a lot of weight. But I read it was about 40 people got and pushed it together. And I thought, we are in this together. We're in this Christian life. We're in this Christian walk together. And we can accomplish so much more when we do things together. Now, I'm going to preface this with, I think we do this together. And I think that our church does a great job of this. But I think that I want to show you what I think Paul, what I learned here from reading this passage, what I studied studying this passage, when Paul is speaking to those at the Church of Rome. And so here's what I saw. We are together in this for our resources. Okay, verse number 25 says this, says, "But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." So as Christians, we are together in our resources. And we're not going to talk a lot about money, but about our resources. These Gentile churches heard that these Jewish people had a need, and they came together. And I want to say this. One of the things that we should be doing is paying the debts that we owe. Now, I think it's clear biblically that if you owe a payment, you should pay that payment. You should pay it on time. You should pay it whatever the contract is. Okay, so the contract says you should pay $300 a month. You need to pay $300 a month. If you don't do that, the Lord is not honored with that. But that's not what we're talking about. We need to pay the debts that we owe. Some people go through life thinking, "Oh, I helped Joe, so Joe owes me one, and then but Joe helped me, so I owe Joe one." And they try to keep track of who owes who what. I still have a brother-in-law, but I have a brother-in-law. He used to say it all the time, and he used to say things like, "Oh man, thanks for coming over and help me wire that up," or whatever he said. "I owe you one," and I would say, "You don't owe me one. I do it because I want to help you. I'm doing it for you." We shouldn't live our lives thinking about who owes who what, but when we owe a debt, we ought to pay it. And in this passage, he says, "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." Why? Verse number 27. "It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are." So Paul says, it pleased them, those Gentiles to take up this offering for the Jewish people, for these poor Jews that were living in Jerusalem. Now, he says, "For the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things." Here's what Paul's saying. Those Gentiles were debtors to the Jewish people because the Jewish people, where did the gospel come from? It came from Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, Jesus had sent out the 12, of course, but they had sent out missionaries. And by those missionaries, these Gentiles heard the gospel. And so these Gentiles now, as Paul says, they are debtors to the Jews, and they feel like debtors to the Jews. We need to pay the debts that we owe. And here's what I mean by that. This morning, one of our senior adults said to me, she said, "We fought to keep this church alive." And they did. Some of you were here for that. The Riles were here for that. I know Brother Terry, I was looking. Tom, were you here for that? Okay. But this morning, of course, there's more senior adults here when it's nicer and stuff, but some of them were here. Some of you guys have been here for a long time, and you fought to keep these doors open. And we are indebted to you for that. We are thankful for you for that. Because this building was almost up for sale. And we wouldn't be sitting here worshiping together on a Wednesday, on a Sunday night, with probably 100 people in this building. What a great debt that we owe to you. And I personally want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for keeping this place open and for working at it. And then some of you over the last 11 years have come and have, you know, done work and done what you can to move this work forward, and I am so thankful for you. We're indebted to you. Some of us younger folks, we are indebted to those who gave us the gospel. Let me rephrase it. We're all indebted to those that gave us the gospel, but we're indebted to our parents. I'm indebted to my parents because they taught me the gospel. I'm indebted to my pastors growing up. Brother Overby was, I barely remember him. Brother York was my pastor who poured into me, loved me. Brother Lamb after that. Brother Smith and Brother Tracy. I'm indebted to those people who preached into my life and taught me the things I needed to know, gave me the gospel, and gave me truth. I'm indebted to those people. We're indebted to people. I'm indebted to many people, and you're indebted to many people spiritually. And it's important that we pay that debt. There's no way that I can pay the debt owed to people like the Riles who have been here for a long time and kept this church open other than to say thank you. They felt indebted to those Jewish Christians, and they acted upon that to meet the needs of those Jewish Christians. There are times when somebody pours into us, and they help us through a time, and then the time comes where they need help. And you know, our pastor has a gift of encouragement. And he has encouraged me so many times, and even this afternoon when he's sick, we were talking about a situation, and he said, "Brother, you know I'm with you, and I've got your back," and that is so encouraging to me. But you know, there's times where our pastor needs encouragement. There's times where he needs somebody to say, "Pastor, I love you, and I'm praying for you. Thank you for what you've taught me. Thank you for preaching the truth in love to me." Because a lot of people are getting the truth tonight, but a lot of them aren't getting it in love. And when we get preached with Pastor Tracy, we get preached the truth, and we get it preached in love. And so remember that person who gave to you when you were in need. We owe the debt to those who prayed for us, those who labored over us, those who cried for us. And we owe those a debt to those who sacrificed to give us the things and the heritage that we have. We also need to be able to receive the payment for our debt from our debtors. Now again, we should not live our lives with the thought that somebody owes us. I think that leads to an entitlement mentality that you owe me, and so you need to take care of me, and you better not go back on that. However, there will be times in your life where people, if you've encouraged people, you've poured into people, you've tried to help people, you've given them the gospel, you've tried to give them truth, that they will come back to you and want to repay that debt to you. And that's okay. It's okay that somebody comes to you and says, "Look, I want to repay this debt to you, and I don't mean I can pay it in full. I just mean I want to do something." And when somebody comes to us and says, "Hey, I know you've been struggling, and here's something that maybe will help," and whether it's money or whether it's just an encouraging word, "I know you've been going through a problem," or it's a visit, it's a meal, whatever it is, it's great to be able to repay that debt, but we need to learn to accept it. One of the hardest things that I'm still learning is how to accept when I go to a church that one time I preached at a church, there was 9 people there on a Wednesday night. There's normally 300, but they heard I was coming. No, I'm just kidding. There was 9 people there, and it was one of the first places I preached, and they gave me a check for $50. And I said, "This church needs this more than I do. I'm working a full-time job. My needs are met. I don't need this." And Pastor Tracy taught me. He said, "Stephen, don't rob somebody of a blessing. If they're going to give to you, you can tell them you don't need to do that. You know, that's not necessary," he says, "but you accept a gift." And one of the things that we need to do is learn to accept that gift. And so these Jewish people and the Gentile people, the Gentiles felt that debt. They wanted to pay that debt back. They couldn't pay it back the same way, but they wanted to do something back, and that's a great thing. And the Jewish people needed to accept that gift back. And so we need to be together in our resources. Pride says this: "I don't need your help." Somebody comes to you and they say, "I want to help you out. You've helped me, I want to help you out." No, pride says, "I don't need that." But humility says, "God may be using that person in my life." Or honestly, that person giving to you may be what God's doing in their life. It has nothing to do with you. But God says, God's burdened them to do that, and it will do them good to be able to give to you. So we need to learn to accept that gift. In fact, Paul, he says in verse number 27, he says, "For the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." Not in bad things, but in things that are of the flesh. So they're to that was their duty to do that. In verse number 28, he says, "When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain." What a great thing it is when somebody wants to repay that debt, because Paul calls that fruit. He says, you have sown into that person's life, and now they're wanting to do something back for you, and so that's fruit. That's a great thing. Some people think, well, churches, they only talk about money. I had somebody say that to me one time: "This church does nothing but talk about money." Now, if you've been here more than once, you know this church doesn't rarely, if ever, talks about money. But they'll say, well, it's all about that loot, or they've got that love of money. No, here's the difference. The love of money is the root of all evil. But money can be a fruit in somebody's life, and it can be used in a great way. So we need to learn to pay the debts that we owe. We need to learn to accept when somebody wants to pay us back. So we're in it together in our resources, and we're in it together in our request. Paul says in verse number 28, "When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." So we need to pray. We need to pray for each other. I know we know that. I know we talk about that all the time. But it doesn't just go, "Oh, we need to pray. I need to list these prayer requests off." There's a passionate part of this that we shouldn't miss. We need to pray for people's plans. Yesterday at the prayer breakfast, Brother Joe asked prayer that we would remember him and Hannah as they're going to be getting married here soon and making decisions and finding a place to live, things like that. Several people asked prayer for plans, things that they are in their lives in the future. Justin Malloy asked for prayer also in that way. It's what to do when he gets out of high school. And we need to keep those in our prayers and not just say it and forget about it. But that means to keep it on our hearts and ask prayer for those people. Paul often asked for prayers of those he was writing to for the Lord's will to be done in his plans. In fact, there were times where Paul said, "Here's my plan. I was going to do this, but the Lord didn't suffer me or didn't allow me to do that because God had a plan." And so we need to know God's plan. We need to pray for other people to know God's plan. We need prayer for protection. In verse 30, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea." Now go to Acts, just for some background, go to Acts chapter number 21. And I want to show you that Paul knew what he was talking about here. He was asking prayer. Now Paul knew he was headed to Jerusalem. Paul also knew that he would visit Rome at some point. But he's about to head to Jerusalem, and he asks for prayer from these Romans. And in verse number 31, again, he says, "that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea." Now, what's he mean by that? Acts chapter 21, verse 27. He says, "And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were in Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus and Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut, and they went about to kill him. Tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar." Paul, when he says, "Pray for me as I go in with those unbelievers," Paul knew exactly what he was talking about. And he needed prayer. And, you know, we need prayer for protection. And we pray. We pray for our missionaries. We pray for those that are in foreign lands because we realize that it can be dangerous for them. But we need to pray for each other because daily we are in danger. Daily, our fellow brothers and sisters are in danger of harm, danger of wrong, in danger of sin. And so we need to pray for their protection. Prayer for protection in each other's lives is beneficial to each other. It's critical for each other. And it's encouraging, and I can tell you this from my heart, it's encouraging to know when people are praying for you. It's encouraging that I get a text every once in a while from somebody that'll say, "Hey, I prayed for you this morning, I just want you to know that." And that's an encouragement to me. I texted that to Brother Andy today. I said, "Brother Andy, just want you to know I'm praying for your dad, and the church will be praying for him tonight." And then we texted back and forth, and he truly appreciates it. It's an encouragement to know somebody is praying for you. Tell them that you're going to pray for them, and then pray for them. Also, he asked for prayer for a profitable ministry. And I don't mean profitable in the sense of money, but in verse number 31, at the end, he says, "And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." I wondered what he meant by that. But if you look at it, he's talking about the service he's about to give them. I believe he's talking about this offering that he's about to give them. He's about to give them the offering from the Gentiles. And he says, and it's an odd statement, but he says, "And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." Why did he say that? Here's what I believe. I believe he said that because two reasons. He's about to go to Jerusalem and give a gift from the Gentiles to the Jews. Now, we know that the church has followed their leadership and they sent out missionaries to the Gentiles. But I'll guarantee you a lot of the people in that church are still going, I don't like the Gentiles. Jewish people didn't like Gentiles. They didn't like Samaritans. They were half-Jews, and they didn't like Gentiles. And so there was that issue. But also, remember this, Paul is now going back to Jerusalem. Now, Paul is a Jew, but Paul's the one who's teaching them, you don't need to circumcise your kids. Forsake Moses and the law is the way they saw him saying it. He's saying get rid of the law, get rid of Moses. He wasn't, but they took it that way. And he's saying to, you know, forget a lot of these traditions and these practices that you do. So to those Jewish people, Paul may not have been the person they wanted to see all that much. And so Paul's going back to give this gift, and he says, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me that as I go there, that not only I'll have protection, but that I will have a profitable ministry with these people, and that they'll be able to accept this gift the way it's intended. We're in it together in our request, but we're in it together in our refreshment. In verse number 32, he says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be with you, may with you be refreshed. Refreshment comes through being in the will of God. If you feel that you're worn, you feel that you're tired, that's normal. But you know, refreshment comes by saying, I know that maybe I'm tired, and I know that maybe I haven't got a lot of sleep lately, but I know I'm in God's will. And I remember a few years back when I was struggling with whether God was calling me to preach, and I wasn't sure. And I would talk to Ed Massey, my youth pastor when I was growing up, and he's in Kentucky, he's kind of one of my guys I look to and I talk to about things. And if you know Ed Massey, he actually does most of the talking, but I like to call him and discuss things with him. And I told him one time, I said, Brother Ed, there was a church in Texas that had asked me to come be the youth pastor, but I really wasn't sure if God was calling me to preach yet. And we went back, and he said, Stephen, he said, and this was one of the best advices anybody's ever given me. He said, Stephen, submit yourself to God's general will, and then he'll show you his specific will. Instead of going, well, I want to serve God if it's here or there or there or there, he said, no, submit to his general will. Say, God, whatever you want for me, I'm submitting to it. And then God has the ability to lead us to where he wants us to go. And he gave me that advice, and he said, Stephen, the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. That's the safest place to be, and that is the safest place to be, and it's also the most peaceful place for us to be, and it's the most fulfilling place. Refreshment comes through closeness. Paul was the same as me and you. We need friendship. We need camaraderie. We need fellowship. That's why we do a lot of things that we do. That's why we do teen activities, because the teens need that. Because that's why we're doing men's activities, and we're doing ladies' activities, and we're doing Sunday school activities, and whatever it is. It's because we need that closeness, and we need that friendship, we need that camaraderie with other Christians. He says, in fact, in chapter 1 of Romans, Paul says he longed to see them. He had never been to this church. He'd never met these Christians. He said he longed to meet them. He longed for that. We long for friendships, and I can tell you, I remember a time in our life that my wife really felt that she had nobody. She just didn't feel like she had any really close friends, and she longed for that. The Lord, by the way, brought friends into her life. And she prayed about it, said, Lord, I just feel like I need some close friends, and the Lord did that and brought her some friends. And so for us as Christians, we long for that, and Paul longed for that too. And for Christians, time together with other Christians gives the strength and courage that we need to continue on. And so when Paul says that I may come, in verse number 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. I want to be refreshing to each other. I want to be encouraging to each other. And so here's what I'm asking you to do. Today, encourage somebody. Tomorrow, encourage somebody. Send somebody a text. If you don't text, send somebody a letter. I got a letter one time from a missionary, and it was handwritten, and from Brother Bagwell, and it meant so much to me because it wasn't typed. It was written with his own hand, and it meant a lot to me. Kids today don't know how to write, I don't think. But write somebody a letter and encouraging them. He wrote me about a 3-page letter one time that just encouraged me, and I felt so loved and appreciated, and it was a great encouragement to me. Do that to somebody. Encourage somebody. Maybe look for somebody who doesn't get as much encouragement and try to find them and encourage them. Refresh them. Because here's what that will do. It will refresh you also. And you will get satisfaction, spiritual satisfaction, from encouraging and helping somebody in their life. So tell them that you're going to pray for them and then do it. Tell them you appreciate them. Maybe tell them about a time that they encouraged you. And say, in this time, I was struggling, and you don't even know you did this, but this encouraged me. You don't even know that you said this, but this you said this, and it encouraged me. You know, we need more positive people. We have a very positive church. We have a very loving church, but we need to be positive with each other instead of always looking at the negative things. It's so easy to point out negative, but we need to be an encouragement to somebody. We need to refresh them. Because why? Because we're in this together. We are a body. The Bible calls us a body. And all of us have our own function, and we have hands, and we have feet, and we have noses, and we have toes. But we are all part of the body, and we need each other. And my encouragement for you tonight is what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. He says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do." He said, I know you already do this, but continue to comfort, continue to edify each other. And by the way, one of the reasons this is a good sermon for Sunday nights, because you're here Sunday night, but you know, Hebrews 10:25, when it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We can often look at the beginning of that verse and say, be in church. But he says, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That day is approaching with the return of Christ, but with that, the Bible says more hard times are going to come. It's going to be harder to teach people. It's going to be harder to preach to people. But listen, God is still in control. And I don't mean to be, and I'm not being negative, because we've seen here that God can bring revival. But as it's going to get harder, and as we see that day approaching, and as we see the Lord's return drawing closer, we need to encourage each other more. And it is encouragement to me to look out and see people. It's a discouragement when you say, man, where are they? Man, I'm really concerned about them. So be an encouragement to somebody. Come to church. But be an encouragement to somebody. Send them a card. Send them a letter. Send your pastor a letter. He could use it. And I don't mean he's down and depressed or anything. I just mean he can use that encouragement. And when you encourage him, that will go so much further. When he gets up here to preach, or when he gets here during the week to do what he does, it'll be such an encouragement to him. I got a note on my Bible this morning. And from one of our teens, and it's just a little note, and it says, I hope you have a great day. I think it says you're the best in the whole world, but it doesn't say that. But it's an encouragement to me. And this morning before Sunday school, when I walked in my office and I saw that, it was an encouragement to me to keep going. Let's encourage each other, because we're in this together. It takes all of us as a body to work together. Let's stand, and we'll sing. Brother Brian will come. If you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, I invite you tonight. Today is the day of salvation. You need to be saved today, because we're not guaranteed of tomorrow. We're not guaranteed we'll make it home tonight. If you're not saved, I ask you and I beg you tonight that you'll accept Jesus Christ. You'll accept the gift of salvation he's offered freely. I also encourage you tonight, if the Lord's spoken to you about something, you need to come down front, that you would do that. But just this week, just do something for somebody. Encourage somebody, because it will help. It's not about a feel-good thing. It's about, hey, we're in this together. We're working for the kingdom. And if we can encourage somebody, they might do something else for somebody else. And it could keep going and keep going and keep going. Where we can reach more people, and we can baptize more people, and we can teach more people, carry out the Great Commission as a church.
We hope you've been blessed by Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.